go ahead and have special prayer for Dad. Yeah, he's, you know, these seem like these trips get him down, but Mom says she's never seen him this sick before, and has her somewhat worried. And so I thought we'd just have a special prayer right here for him. And so, dear Lord, we just come to you tonight and ask you, Lord, to touch Bill Smith, give him strength in his body. Touch him, oh God. You know you're the creator of all. All power. All we'd have to do is just ask. And you can send in a healing bomb, Gilead, oh God. That would touch him, give him strength, and help him tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God, dear Jesus.
Yes.
Dear Lord. Amen. Be seated. Just want to welcome everybody out tonight to First Gospel here on Wednesday night. Glad to have everybody here tonight. And the time change has kind of gotten me a little discombobulated this week so far, but I know here won't be a day or two, I'll be used to it. And glad to see Sister Rochelle here on Wednesday night, and her daughter. Oh, well, which daughter is this one? Denisha? Demisha. All right. Very good. Glad to have you, Demisha. Yeah. Well, if we could got John here, we could have completed trifecta for tonight. Still working. Good. I'm Brother John's become a part of this church and he's doing real good. I'm glad to see him come when every Sunday he's here, you know, with us. We need to help lighten the load then. Get here on Wednesday night. Brother John's is a awesome guy. That's the way I look at it. And I was thinking here tonight, we got several other people that we need to pray for. I'll go ahead and get those requests. But I was thinking Brother and Sister Crow needs our prayers. Brother Al and the Rattler family needs our prayers. Still going through this grieving time that they're going through. Loss of Sister Elsie. We're all grieving with you. Brother Al and Brother Dave. I wrote it down.
Oh, Brother Daniels.
You know, he's been in the hospital, he just hasn't felt right. You can kind of see it on his face, you know, they just ain't been feeling good. Brother Stewart? Been a little bit late. I know he would appreciate our prayers, though. And so let's pray for them. Sister Fisher? Now, who was this? What, you said they were here? Oh, Terry and Gary Shelton. Okay. Well, very, very good. And also, I guess we're going to pray for the will, because we all remember Josh and what was the little girl's name she always mentioned? Josh, his grandson, and then that little Haley. Yeah. Brother Stuart. Brother Fleming and Brother Thompson. The Wallace family went to the dentist, had some work done. They're not going to be here tonight. Tom Boyd, keep praying for Tom Boyd. Sister Donna, pray. Sister Linda's back. Dylan, Sister Bryant probably will appreciate us praying for her back too. Sister Julie. Pray for Joe and his job situation, Brother Curtis. Karen. Pray for Karen. All right. We got a lot of needs. I'm writing them down as we go. We got a bunch of them. What's that? Keep praying for Sister Watson. I should appreciate her prayers. Brother Maine as well. Noah. We appreciate that. Hey, who is this? Benita. Somebody you work with? Okay. All right. Oh, just met her. Okay. All right. Okay. Did you talk to Brother Dotson tonight? Okay. He said he, Phil was worried about him, and you know, if you, I figured you checked in on him. So we need to pray for him. Sister Sander. Pray for Lisa. They said she's got a... No, was it Lisa or Melissa? Melissa, okay. Their daughter Melissa... for her. Jerry. Teacher's baby has a heart problem. And Lisa. Your left ear is bothering you again. Okay. Girls there. Have requests. Yes. Okay. Yes. Praying for him. All right. Have the ushers come forth. We'll take up the offering as well. And we'll take these needs up and pray for them. Y'all stand with me. We'll pray. Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, and ask you to all these needs that were brought before us, oh God. Dear Lord, Brother Ratliff, Lord, and the Fratliff family, encourage them, Lord, in this death of Sister Ratliff. Lord, touch Brother and Sister Crow, their health issues, and her with the shingles. Lord, be Brother Daniels, get him through this time with his health, Lord. Wilkins family, Phil, Josh, and Haley. Sister Wilkins, we lift them up all the time. We lift them up before you, too. I ask you, Lord, to keep dealing with the Sheltons. Touch Brother Fleming, Brother Thompson, the Wallace family. Lord, I ask you to keep your hand on Tom Boyd. Brother Dotson, Sister Linda in her bag, Dylan in the military, Joe's job situation, Randy Ayers, oh God, Helen, this cancer situation, her job, Melissa in her heart, oh God, Brother Durham, Sister Watson, Brother Maine, oh God, you're mindful of them. Karen. Oh God, oh God. Jeannie Sparks. These girls with their teacher, and Sister Lisa's ear. Oh God, just ask you to touch them. Oh God. Dear Lord, dear Jesus. Every name that was brought up here today, bless each and every one, oh God, that gives here tonight. Bless your kingdom. Ask it all in your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God.
good to have the Oaks back. Honey bunches and oats. That's an oak. Oh, oak joke, inside joke. Sister Oak says she didn't like me bake on him honey bunches for her. So.
I'm sure people have something good to say, but until they get up, I was thinking about something Brother Bud talked on in the meeting in Houston. He was telling about a team that was losing the ball game, and I don't remember what team it was or who it was, but the point was they was losing this game, and they, I don't know, it was halftime anyway. The coach talked to them. And somehow he got through to them that they had to believe in themselves. And he got the message over to them. And they turned it around. They won the game. This was a real game. He was telling us about it. He gave the team's name. I don't remember the team name. But anyway, he just mentioned that to show that, you know, you can get to the point that you give up on things, on life and on God. So anyway, he was pointing that out, and I thought, you know, this is a month with a lot of ball games going on, and even just sometime one thing that somebody do, one play could be, they call it, could be a game changer. You know, I was thinking in our life, you know, serving God, sometimes even somebody's testimony could be a game changer in your life, you know, of what you're going through. I was just thinking, it just seemed like the last few weeks, it's been some good inspiration in our services and different talks. I've been really enjoying Brother Fisher. He really been getting inspired. And I know that our sister Lynette was talking the other day, or other night, whenever it was, but it was another service, and about, you know, the old folks, that they were old folks to us. But you know, after a while, you know, you get to looking around and you start thinking. I remember being, you know, I just felt like, you know, I was just there, you know, and you always expect somebody else to carry the load, and it was always on somebody else. But, you know, after a while, somebody else is not going to be here. And somebody was talking about feeling the burden about a week or so ago. It was a service that we was talking about feeling the burden, and that's important. You know, we need to do that. You know, we need to come in, and just like Brother Mike was talking about Brother Smith being sick, and you know, we all a part of this church, and we're all a part of the team. And sometimes, you know, I know that. I just remember being in this church and just coming in here, and I didn't have to worry about carrying no load or nothing, you know. Just come here. But, you know, I just feel like we need to feel the load, feel the burden, because, you know, each one of us can make a difference. And we can have, our words could be, the, like I was talking about the games, could be a game changer. You know, it could be the thing that this person needed, this situation. Because this, all we got is right now, you know, tonight. You know, we don't have tomorrow. Well, yesterday is gone. So we just have tonight. You know, this time that we got right now is really all we have. And so what we do with this time that we have right now is is the most, you know, it's the most important. That's where we stand, you know. And I'm every time I think about, you know, I guess I think about it more, you know, that we come to church and God is still available to us, and I don't know if he just sitting waiting on us, but God is available to us, and the things of God, you know, no matter when the time frame is, the things of God, his promises. Brother McGowan talked about his promises Sunday, that he promised Abraham, you know, way back when. And those promises are being fulfilled today. And things that God has in store for people, that his people. You know, we're people of God. We're God's people. And he's made promises to his people. And the more I read about it, and the more I realize, you know, that God is there for us. And it really, a lot of it depends on what, you know, I do about it. You know, it depends on how I respond to what God is doing. He's there. He's available. He's made himself available. And a lot of it has to do with how I respond to him, how I begin to, even, you know, in prayer. We believe in prayer. We believe in reaching out to God, because that's what helps us. You know, it keeps us. I think about, you know, people different. You know, this week here, we had this school election here yesterday, and I work in the polls. So anyway, a lot of people come through there. And but anyway, people that we got, my wife knows, this lady, we a neighbor, live out in our neighborhood that homeschool. She got six kids that. We met a lot of homeschoolers when we was homeschooling, and good people. I mean, I didn't know that many people did homeschooling in Little Rock, but there's a lot of them. And a lot of people that depend, you know, that they're godly people. And but anyway, she came through yesterday, and we was telling about, we already knew she got cancer. And she come through yesterday, she was telling about her husband, Kenneth, and he's was in an emergency room with a stroke. And that's what I think, you know, they already going through some problems, and you think about people. And you know, you can't, you know, you can feel bad about your own situation, but just look around. That's what I'm saying. If you just kind of look around at other people, you know, and that's another way to feel a burden, to be able to feel the burden of wanting to see somebody blessed, or somebody lifted up, somebody encouraged that may be going through some things that they can't seem to get out of it. They can't seem to get over it, whatever it is. And things do happen to people. I mean, they have to have some outside help to get through what they're going through, like depression or whatever. You know, some things you think, well, that person ought to be able to do better than what they're doing, but they may not be able to. They may, but whatever this situation is on them, may be more than they can handle. Maybe they probably need some outside help to get through this. And that's what I'm saying, you know. And like I say, my only answer to people, you know, if they begin to talk to me about it, is through God. It's God is our answer, really. The things that God has provided for us, you know, begin to read his word, begin to reach out and try to feel his spirit to help you, because I know, you know, in the medical field, one of the 10 gods that we talk about, you know, in the medical God, that you can get a lot of help through the medical field. But then sometimes they can't help you. Sometimes they do all that they can do, and that's all they can do. But God is not limited, you know, on anything. On anything. Anything that he's involved with. I know, you know, I'm you know, getting up in age, I know I'll have to probably rely on the medical field some. But I want to try to lean on the Lord. I want to, as much as within me, you know, that lies within me, I want to lean on God. I want to realize that I can get help, you know, from Him. And like I say, through His Word, through things that I hear, you know, from the pulpit. Appreciate our ministers. You know, thinking about, you know, Brother Smith just coming back from the Dominican Republic and how that people over there are really embracing this message and how that they are so excited about what God is doing in the body of Christ and to know that we can have find answers to, you know, if you around people that seem to, you know, they might be religious, they might not be religious, but if they are, and sometimes it's hard to talk religion. It's hard to talk religion sometimes around people because what they've been, you know, in this whatever they believe, they've been in it all their life, and that maybe you know you have to be careful. But anyway, there again, you have to let God help you with some of these things, and to be able to have good words, you know, to be able to, because, you know, people, you know, they can be touched in so many ways, and our words, what we say, you know, if words were fitly framed together, and that is one scripture in Proverbs talks about words being like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Words. Now, these are words, you know. And, but anyway, I just was taking up some time here while you guys get your words together, your thoughts, and I just appreciate the Lord and having an opportunity to serve Him. And I don't want to take it lightly. I get to serve God and to get to learn more about Him. And since we, you know, what was I thinking about the other day, Brother McGowan giving his age and he got 3 score and 10. He made it. He got that. So anyway, you know, really, I was thinking about time. That's really still not a long, compared to God's time, that's not a long time. It is a long time, depending on how you look at it, but it's really not. But it's like a, you know, our time frame, our life, it's like a drop in the bucket, you know, in God's time frame. But really, it's still sufficient. Whatever God gives us is sufficient to be able to, if we put it to use in God's kingdom, it's sufficient. You know, I don't know if I get 3 score or 10. But if what I do or not, but I want to make the best of the time that I do have, that the Lord has given me. I want to make the best of it and put it to good use. And so I'm just thankful tonight to be a part of God's people, to be in His kingdom, and having such an opportunity. So God is good to us, and I'm so thankful to be here.
Good evening, everyone. It's always good. It's always good to see Sister Tally. So it's great. I'm standing up today just to let everyone know just how grateful it is always to come home. My mom tells me all the time how many of you guys pray for me and my sisters. And we don't have the gratitude to show you how much we really appreciate that. And even though we go down dark roads and face situations that you have to do it by yourself or you pray for, I know that when I come home, I'm okay. And that's why I'm here today. So I'm appreciative and glad that I know that I can come home. That's why I'm here.
Praise God. How about now, Brother Joe? Appreciate Brother Joe. He's helping us in the media booth. And I'm glad to have the help. And he's a good guy. I appreciate what Brother Talley said about getting under the burden and helping carry the load. This is for all of us. In this church, we've had such great men of God. I wasn't here under Brother Tucker. But I was here under Brother Leninger and Brother Weininger and Brother Smith. And it's easy, it's been easy to be overshadowed by their gifts, by their abilities. They carry such weight that it's just easy to relax in that. But there's still a lot of work to be done. And, Brother Leninger used to tell that story about, let the church crawl and then let the church walk. He showed that the church is like a baby. The church crawls and then it gets a little stronger and it learns how to walk. Then they get a little stronger and it learns how to run. And then they say, okay, let's receive an offering because it takes money to run. And then somebody said, well, let the church crawl. But it takes it all. It takes the young and the old, and the rich and the poor, and the strong and the weak. It's a house of prayer for all God's people. And we all have a job to do. It's hard to know what that job is sometimes. I was thinking about that. I corrected my son Sunday. Apologized to him later. For it. I've done a lot of that this week, apologizing. And I realized that he was kind of wandering around. He wasn't working. And I realized the reason he wasn't working is because he didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do. He was willing. He just didn't know what to do. And, you know, oftentimes I find myself in a category like that. Sometimes lacking direction is more the problem than laziness or indecisiveness. And we're to be mindful. It's a mystery to me how to be led by the Spirit. I know that the more that I am led by the Spirit, and the more that we're led by the Spirit as a church, the greater the church will be. And not the sense in that we're got the greatest church in Little Rock, but in the sense that we'll be more effective for the work of the Lord. And I understand that it takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God working together in our lives for us to be more effective. The Bible says that the effectual fervent prayer, fervent indicating that there's effort. There's a lot of effort put into it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Said, if you're sick, call for the elders of the church. They'll lay hands on you and be healed. And so there's an indication that there's effort put forth. And I was thinking this week about, I was thinking about the 10th chapter of Luke. when Jesus sent out the 70. And for me, my mother, she came to visit my job a few years back. And, you know, some of you mothers would probably agree with me, but there's just nobody's son like, you know, like a mama's son. There's, you know, your boy may be great, but mine is my, you know, that's my son. And so when my mom, when she calls to reach me at work, she always says, this is Nathan's mom. She's exercising her right. She's invoking, look, whoever you are, answer the phone. I know you're doing your job, but I want you to know that you need to tell him that his mom is calling. You know, I don't care if he's talking to the President of the United States. This is his mama calling. And she called up there one day and got a hold of my boss. And, or maybe he got a hold of her, I'm not sure. She told him, she said, we learned a long time ago with Nathan that we've got to keep him busy, keep him working. If we didn't keep him working, we probably would, he'd probably land in jail. And she might have been kidding. She might not have been. I don't know. As a young person, for me, she probably wasn't. But hey, I had some brothers. I had influences too, you know. So I wasn't just, you know, a rotten kid most of the time. Well, some of the time. Part of the time. So I've heard that. I don't know how many times I've heard that. I said, well, so they just pour it on me. They just give me all kinds of work to the point where I'm almost suffocating because I've got so much to do. And they say, well, your mama told us that if we didn't keep you busy, you'd land in jail. So this is me, you know, so this is me tapping out, you know, I'm done. You guys about to, you broke me, you know, I'm out of this wrestling match. And it's, you know, some days like this week, you know, just to the point where I've got so many, torches that I'm juggling. This is funny. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I'll tell you anyway. I had to buy a rechargeable or a battery-powered chainsaw for my boss. He wanted one to put in his tractor. And so I'm researching these battery-powered chainsaws and reading the reviews. And more than one review was about some juggler who was trying to juggle an electric chainsaw, but they couldn't keep it running. So I don't know if that was a joke or... Some people just don't need to be operating a chainsaw. I'm just telling you right now. But I'm juggling. You know, I've got all these things on my job. I'm juggling, and I just feel, you know, like I'm just overwhelmed. Well, I've got a tendency. When I get that way, I just start internalizing. I just start shutting people out, and I start focusing on the things that I've got to take care of because it's almost like target fixation. And I was reading over here in the 10th chapter of Luke when Jesus sent out the 70. And he said to them, starting the first verse, Luke 10, said, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. So they were going, if you will, as an ambassador or as a scout. They were going to where he was going to be, as his face or as his eyes. They were going to explore the cities. And he said, in the second verse, he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I'm going to read a little bit here. He said, go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way. I just take that as don't give honor to any other man. You're going for me. Jesus was talking to him. I just take that as saying, I'm sending you. Don't give honor to anybody else but me, because I'm sending you. And he said, into whatsoever house ye enter, first ye say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon you. If not, it shall return to you again. And so here these people are. They're going out as his ambassadors or as his scouts. And they're meeting people, you know, out in the communities, out in the cities, that they don't know about them. And Jesus is relatively unknown to the communities. So, you know, it would be awkward for me to just go out and start talking about somebody, a prophet, the Lord of the harvest. He referred to him as himself, is the Lord of the harvest. So I can just imagine that the rejection rate was high. You know, when I was a kid, I used to pitch newspapers, and so we'd knock on the door, and, you know, would you like to subscribe to newspapers? And, you know, I guess people still, you know, I grew up in a small town, and so, you know, there's all kinds of things. People sell Girl Scout cookies, and, you know, back in the day when it was safe to knock on people's doors. And so that's what these people were doing. They were going into the city, and they were into the marketplace, and they were meeting people, and he said in the seventh verse, he said, in the same house remain, in the sixth verse, said, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall return upon it. If not, it shall, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. In the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And in whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick that are within therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. But into whatsoever city ye enter, and they receive you not, go your ways out into the streets of the same, and say, even the dust, the very dust of your city which cleaveth unto us, we do wipe off against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. So the message was still the same, whether the people received it or not, and the message was, the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. That was the message. Whether if the people didn't receive it, they wiped the dust off their feet and they went on the road. So there's an indication there that he was preparing them for rejection, right? But he gave them instructions. He said, let your peace rest upon the house. Going off from house to house if they receive you. And then he said, went on to say, talking about how it'd be more tolerable for Sodom and than for that city because they were rejecting the kingdom of God. So let's fast forward then to the 17th verse, that the 70 returned. So I'd be interested to hear the stories about all of it and how it went down. You know, well, I met this. Started to use a three-letter word there, which my mentor, if I use the word old around Brother Harry Lane, which was the man that basically saved me as a young teenage boy, he would just rake me over the coals. He said, don't use that word old. He said, use elderly or senior. He was very sensitive. But I can just imagine that some of these people came back and they said, well, I met this elderly man there, and he told me these stories about how that when he was a kid. And then there was probably others that I met this guy, and he was working, and he just slammed the door in my face and wouldn't talk to me. And, you know, and then we got run out of this city, and they were stoning us, and kingdom of God, you know. And And they probably just had all kinds of wild stories. It'd be probably about like traveling a day with Brett Weiniger. You'd come back with wild stories. And so here they came back, and it said that the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Now, I want to focus on this word here. They returned with joy. Why? Because they went with his name. It said, even the devils were subject unto us through thy name. You know, that's the one thing that I forget whenever I'm working, either on my job for the man I work for, or in the church and with Brother Smith and for the Lord, is I forget whose name I'm working for. Sometimes I internalize it, Brother Phil, and I think this is my job. This is my responsibility. And you know, I just told you earlier, I get a little target fixation on the things that are my responsibilities, and I've got to get them done, I've got to get them taken care of, and why can't everybody understand that? But here, these folks, he gave them instructions to go in his name, not in their own, not in their own strength, not in their own aspirations, not in their own desires or their own fears or favorites, but just to go in his name. And it said, and he said to him, he said, in the 18th verse, he said, "Behold," he said, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." In other words, he was telling him, he said, look, everything that you need, he said, when he sent them out, he said, take not script or purse. He said, everything that you need is provided. I like that song. I mentioned this before. There's a miracle in the making. One just for you. The Father's working right now. He's preparing for what you need. There's things that I need I don't even know that I need. But he's preparing for me so that when I do need it, it'll be there. And so that's what he told his disciples. These 70, he said, everything that you need, he said, don't rejoice in that you've got this authority or power or that these things are happening, but just simply rejoice that you're safe. You're hid in Christ. And everything you need is provided. There's another illustration of this in the 8th chapter of Matthew, and this is a good illustration. As well, in the 8th chapter of Matthew, in the 5th verse. Said, when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him, and saying, Lord, my servant, in the 6th verse of Matthew 8, said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Now, just pause a minute and consider what he said. Jesus offered. He offered to come. That man recognized he had enough understanding about his own unworthiness to play off the word that he used there. He said, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. You know, that's how I feel. I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy for what the Lord has done for me. But just like this man, he said in the end of that verse, he said, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Speak the word only. He said, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. So in other words, he's saying, I understand that if I give a command, and I tell someone, you go, take care of that, they're going to go and take care of it. There's no question about it. They just do it because they recognize that he's the man of authority. Oh, God. And then he said to him, he said, if I say to a man, come, he cometh. And there's no question. He just comes. He just does it. Just speak the word and my servant will be healed. That's sufficient. Because you're the man of authority. That's what he was saying to Jesus. He said, you don't have to come to my house. You're the man of authority. Just speak the word. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and he said to them that followed, he said, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. In the 13th verse, Jesus saith unto the centurion, he said, go thy way as thou hast believed, be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. See, what I'm illustrating here is when Jesus spoke the word and people believed what he said, they were met with success. When he spoke the word and they did what he said, they were met with success. Let's look over in the 6th chapter of Acts. And I made reference to this a little bit a few weeks back, but there's something else I want to say about it. In the 6th chapter of Acts, in the first verse, said, in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And there was called, in the third verse, said, they looked out and found 7 men full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, and they appointed to the serving of the people. And in the 5th verse, they appointed Stephen, a man full of faith, the Holy Ghost, Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. And when they had set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. Now notice this next verse. So here, Jesus, the reason the apostles appointed those men to do that work is because they had a job. The apostles had a job to do, and that was to look after the Word of God. So they needed help to look after the widows and the fatherless. And so they laid hands on those men, and they appointed the responsibility for them to do. Now let's see what happened here. So in those men, they went and they did what they were asked to do. They just believed that this was their job. And they weren't doing it for themselves. They weren't doing it for their own glory or self-proclamation. They were doing it as unto the Lord. And so in the next verse it said, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great number of the priests were obedient to the faith. That's success. Those men did what they were asked to do. The apostles, they did what Jesus asked them to do. The men that were working under them did what the apostles asked them to do. And the Bible says that the word of God increased, and the priests were obedient to the faith. And the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. It seems too simple, doesn't it? It sounds so simple. What does the Bible say? Whatsoever thy hands find to do, do it with all your might. It just seems too simple, Brother Tally, for us to work together, shoulder to shoulder, carrying the load. But when we do, it brings success. When we work together as unto the Lord, it brings success. We get other people that are trained in our responsibilities, and we get others that are sharing in the joy and the blessings of the Lord. And then we find that there's healings. And when we work together, children get the Holy Ghost. And when we work together, a sinner gets delivered from their sins. And they get their conscience clean. Thank God. They might even get baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When we work together, Brother McGowan, somebody comes in, like my children, come in, they learn how to play an instrument. Next thing you know, they learn how to play in a band. When we work together, you take somebody who couldn't carry a note in a bucket. They come in, somebody gives them some instruction. The next thing you know, they're up singing a special. When we work together, praise God, the little children know how to show honor and respect. And they can sit at the feet of the elderly people in our church. And they can feel the love of God in their life like they've never felt before. When we work together, you can come in after a long, hard day and you can relax and enjoy the Spirit of the Lord that's in this place. And we can enjoy being a family in the house of God. Hallelujah. When we work together, we see young men grow up in the Word of God. And they get this Word of God down in their life. And they start preaching and singing and testifying. Thank God. And when we work together, you get somebody that comes in off the street. Thank God. And they find something they've been looking for a long time. When we work together, you take somebody that comes out of religion and they get these truths, these apples of gold and pictures of silver, and it becomes alive to them, and they're not believing false doctrine anymore. They get something that's real, something that stirs up their soul, thank God. When we work together, hallelujah, we start praying for one another, and we find healing, and we find deliverance from sickness, thank God. When we work together, there's comfort for each other in our sorrow when someone passes away or there's a loss of some sort. Thank God we find comfort with each other. Hallelujah. When we work together, we accomplish things. We build churches. We put music together. We inspire people, thank God. We help build mission works in foreign lands, thank God. When we work together, we take a man like Brother Smith and we help him and we lift him up and increase his gift. Hallelujah. Praise God when we work together, Brother Daniels. We make lifelong friends. Hallelujah. We lean on each other. We draw strength from each other. We feel the love of God with each other. We know that this is a good house, a good place for us to be. Hallelujah. When we work together. Praise God. Whew. And when we've got one that's sick with the palsy. What we do is we say, Lord, just speak the word. You don't have to come to my house. Lord, you know, they may be a mile away. They may be 100 miles away. They may be in prison. They may be in school. They may be in boot camp. They may be sick in their bed and not able to get out of their bed. But I'm going to tell you something. There's the Holy Ghost that God has given us can reach down in the midst of all the confusion, all the sorrow. I told you about Sister Baker. I'd go into her nursing home room and I'd begin to sing. And all that confusion and all that sorrow and all that madness and craziness environment that she was in, that would all just disappear. And her mind would go to ease and she'd start speaking in an unknown tongue. We're connected, saints of God. We're connected through God's word. We're connected through a spirit. We're connected through this vision that we have. We have truths that bind us together. The love of God binds us together, even in the midst of our turmoil, our frustration, our aggravation. When we work together, we accomplish things. I'm happy to be in this church. I am. I'm happy to be in this church. I'm happy that when I came in, you know, how do you say that? Where was that? The 10th chapter of Luke? He said, when you enter in, first in the house, say, peace be to this house. Do you know if you'll seek peace in this house, you'll find peace? Think about that a minute. That's what Jesus was telling his disciples. He said, when you first enter into the house, he said, peace be to this house. You ever heard that saying, don't make no trouble, there won't be none? I hear that at work. Don't make no trouble, Nathan, there won't be none. Well, I mean, like I'm a troublemaker. I mean, come on, guys. He said, when you enter into the house, he said, peace be unto this house. When you enter, I'm going to tell you right now, if you can't find peace by hugging Brother Daniel's neck, there's something wrong. Because that's a peaceful man. We love you, Brother Daniels. We're praying that God will give you the strength and grace that you need to get stronger. We need you. He said, when you enter into the house, a peace be unto this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. Praise God. I believe the Son of Peace is here, don't you? I'm happy to be in the house of God tonight. Let's work together. Let's work together. Let's work together. Let's pull together. Let's stay together. My Lord. Jesus, that man said to him, he said, if you just say the word, if you will just speak the word. And Jesus told him, he said, no greater faith. No greater faith. He said, I'm a man of authority. I say, go, and they go. You know, Jesus said, oh, God. I was thinking about that song over the weekend. If Jesus said it, I believe it. If it's written, how's that go? His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Claire, will you see if that song's... I may sing that. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. And you know, that's the thing, too, is we... We find ourselves, we're just in the throes of confusion. There's so many voices in the land. There's so many things that tell us, no, it's this way. No, it's that way. No, it's this. No, it's that. God is not the author of confusion. But the thing about it, this is where I get conflicted, is the thing about it is my confusion usually increases when I'm focused on me. And my confusion usually decreases when my focus is on Him. Did you find that song? Is this anything you can play for? Probably see. Go ahead and put the... I believe it, His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it, His word cannot lie.
If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will stand forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will stand forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever. If it's written in the Bible,
I'll believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed
and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie.
It's written in the Bible.
I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. God's word cannot lie.
It's written in the Bible.
I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it.
His word cannot lie.
If it's written
in the Bible,
I believe it till I die. Though the mountains into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. It's written in the Bible. I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity. If Jesus said it, I believe it. His word cannot lie. If it's written in the Bible, I believe it till I die. Though the mountains be removed and cast into the sea, God's word will last forever throughout eternity.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Yes. Praise Him one more time before you go home tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember all the needs that we mentioned tonight. When you go home through the rest of the week, we'll see y'all Sunday. It's, and y'all don't have to go home. Y'all can stay up here as long as y'all want. No, I'm not going to announce that. Well, I'm not going to change anything about talking to Dad before I change something. Yeah, what day? You know, I don't. We'll just wait on that, Brother Durham. All right.